The world of electronics has been taking the HARP world by storm. HARP Fusion has been doing incredible work with technology in the last 2 years to better embrace all that technology has to offer. My name is Victoria Gonzalez, and I am a fifth-year undergraduate student at the University of Arizona. Since my sophomore year, I have been working to better understand how technology works to support the HARP. I play the HARP Studio's electric pedal harp in Crosstalk, which is the University of Arizona's electronic percussion ensemble. Learning more about electronic music opened my eyes to the possibility for harp and has completely shifted my career path as a harpist. In HARP Fusion, we have begun using so many different effects for electric harp, from the electro-harmonics freeze pedal to distortion pedals, to create new experiences during our performances. Most recently, we used these audio effects in our Mirage project for harp, dance, and video that was planned to premiere in Reykjavik, Iceland in March 2020. The use of electronics has become a new passion for HARP Fusion, and we are so grateful for the donor support that has helped sustain our guest artist series and access to new equipment. It is because of the support that we are able to have the honor of working with fantastic artists like Laura Somogyi, who is featured in today's episode. We hope that with continued support, we can expand our resources to engage with more technology, including a newer electroacoustic harp and more effects to create a new amplified sound for our ensemble. If you would like to financially support HARP Fusion and our electric dream, please visit our website harp.music.arizona.edu for more information. In today's episode of HARP Fusion Take Note, let's dive into the idea of how harpists can become electric angels.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of HARP Fusion Take Note. This new podcast series is created and produced by members of HARP Fusion at the University of Arizona in Tucson. Through this podcast, we'll explore the vast and varied world of the harp, featuring guest interviews, student collaborations, and performances from the University of Arizona HARP Studio. My name is Bailey Stevenson, and I am so incredibly excited to be interviewing Laura Somogyi today. Laura Somogyi is a Los Angeles-based harpist and contemporary classical performer-composer. She is known for her innovative and inspiring work with electronics and pedal effects, and for forging a new artistic identity for the harp. Her work takes the harp in new directions and explores and extends the unique sounds of the harp paired with technology. In addition to being a composer-performer, she is also an active session harpist recording in a wide range of genres for film and television. So welcome, Laura. Thank you so much for being a part of our podcast. To start, do you mind sharing a little bit about your path and how your path led you to this unique approach to the harp?
Yeah, absolutely. I just feel so lucky, as I said, to play the instrument. I just feel it is such a huge, majestic instrument with so many possibilities that I just really wanted to explore as much of it as I could. I graduated from the Royal Academy of Music over in London, where I studied all different realms of the harp within the department there. And part of it was with like film scoring and playing in session work. And also I had an elective there that was audio engineering. So those things sort of sparked my interest in just the different types of ways to record the harp and to manipulate sound when you're recording. And then I started working over in the studios in London, and it just expanded into figuring out that I just really, really love manipulating the sound and having this type of sonic exploration within, the strings and what we could do as harpists when paired and using these tools that we could use, like guitarists use, or like any other type of bassists, or you know, anyone who would explore technology and paired with their instrument. Like, I thought, well, you know, let's put it with the harp and really go for it. And I just found a massive passion in exploring this type of playing.
Yeah, it's such an innovative and inspiring approach to the harp, like I said. And it's also just a really enthusiastic approach to the possibilities of the harp. I know that you've also worked some in film and television, so could you share some about the projects that you've recently worked on?
Sure, absolutely. Yes, I absolutely love playing in projects like film and TV. It's really fun to be able to add different, you know, a harp voice to other people's stories. I just feel so lucky. Recently, some of my favorite ones that I've been a part of are The Lion King, which was one of my favorite movies growing up. So to be able to do the live action last year with Hans Zimmer was like a dream come true. I was pinching myself, freaking out, you know, and it was a really, really wonderful experience. 2 weeks in Sony at the soundstage, and it was truly life-changing. It was really fun. Other fun projects that I've really loved being a part of it are things like shows on like Hulu and Netflix, like Miss America and Little Fires Everywhere. I just did Spike Lee's film with Terrence Blanchard called The Five Bloods, which was such an honor to be a part of. Shows like Will and Grace or Simpsons, Vampirina, the new SpongeBob movie coming out. I'm so excited to be doing with Hans Zimmer. I just have so much fun and I'm so grateful.
Yeah, you work on so many cool and interesting projects. And you mentioned that you worked on Lion King and that was really a dream project for you. So could you share a little bit about what that experience was like?
Sure, yeah. I think the energy of the whole room was, and the whole 2 weeks that we were there, was so like excited because, you know, it's just such an iconic score that, I mean, I was like in tears half of the recording session, just like watching this. They play the film for you. Well, not really for us, but for like the directors and like the composer and the rest of the people who are working on the film. We're just there playing, but like that you can see some of the movie playing while you're playing. So, I mean, it was really cool to look around the room and see everyone just getting so emotional, watching and playing the score, and it was really cool because the composer wanted us to feel like we were performing it, and so we did things in not really that many sections. It was sort of like as he wanted it done as a performance based, so it felt really cohesive. So we spent a lot of time working on performing the score in that way so we could capture that feeling. And it was also really cool, which really helped us as players. Anytime we would do a scene that was like really emotional, like for example, like Mufasa's death, they would invite us and to come into the control room sometimes to watch the film with the score that we had just recorded, so that way we could really feel the emotional impact that that part of the score would have on with picture. So that was a really cool moment where I was just kind of like half crying, half like pinching myself, and like, you know, when we were in the control room and all experiencing such a beautiful, sad, emotional moment where, you know, it helped us play in a different way maybe the next time we did that take, because we were able to understand what was happening on screen, or like we were able to really pair it emotionally to what we're playing. It was just a really, really cool way to have the orchestra experience that kind of intimate like listening experience and also expression with that.
Wow, yeah, that sounds like such an effective way to bring through the emotions of that cinematic experience.
100%, yes, absolutely. It was a lot of fun, and you could feel the energy in the room. Everyone was just so, so happy to be there and excited about this music that we, you know, all loved so much. So it was definitely a special, I'll never forget it like my whole life. It was just it was definitely something I'll never forget.
Yeah, that sounds like such a meaningful way to experience the performance of that music. And listening to you talk about this, I'm thinking about how your musical creations and compositions, they have this really cinematic quality to them. And so I'm wondering, does your work in film and TV influence your own musical compositions, or do you view your harp and effects pedals work and your film work as kind of separate worlds?
Yeah, great question. A little bit of both, actually. There is definitely times when it's like strictly classical, playing in a session where it's just playing acoustic harp, which is always wonderful and very, really fun. But then there are other ones where it can be a little bit more cinematic when we attach, you know, the effects pedals and pair it with tech in that way. And I definitely think that that affects the way that I play for my solo stuff or for my own compositions, and the way that when I write is because I think exploring harp in these ways, in any way really, in playing music and playing any type of instrument, you're attaching to an emotion or to a story, or you could really pair what you're playing with how you feel or what you want to express. So in that way, I think it's, yeah, they kind of pair together in that way, where, you know, when you're playing for film, it's someone else's story. It's these emotions. It's these it's this trajectory of storytelling. And I think it does translate back to when I play. I do think of things in a feeling or an emotion, or pair a pedal that makes me feel a certain type of way, or pick an effect that makes me feel like I'm expressing this, or what I how it feels to pluck the string with the reverb or the texture that's coming from the pedal. It definitely feels similar in the cinematic nature, I guess, of expression.
Definitely. So maybe this is a good time for us to hear some of these effects.
Absolutely.
So I'm not totally sure what you have set up, so if you just want to introduce the effect or the pedal that you're going to be sharing with us, either before or after, that would be great.
Absolutely, sure. Okay, let me get set up real quick. Okay, so one of my all-time favorite effects to pair with anything that I write, or also that I play a lot in film stuff and TV, is reverb. And it's a very simple effect, but it also just is really effective when conveying any type of mood. I've used it in like horror films, like Annabelle Comes Home, and which is like part of the Conjuring series. I've done stuff where it's atmospheric, like in Blue Planet 2. So basically reverb is just really good to create a bed of sound or an atmosphere. So here is what a reverb would sound like. Example of a bunch of different types of reverb. I just kind of cycled through a couple of different pedals where, it was more atmospheric, with bigger boom, bigger wash. Some was like a plate reverb. We had, we can do a little shimmer reverb. Let's see.
Yeah, yes, that sounded so amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us. I love reverb on harp.
Me too. I like it too much. I have an obsession with them, and I have like so many. I keep collecting different sounds because I feel like each one is different, and every place that you play it on the harp also sounds really different. So if you play a harmonic through reverb, if you play maybe some of the other extended techniques of the harp that we play as classical harpists, but paired with a reverb or a different effect, it completely lets the note sing and speak in a different way.
Yeah. And so, okay, so recently you performed with Tucson Virtual Harp Fest. Woo-hoo! And it was amazing.
It was so fun. You guys are incredible.
It was such a moving performance. And I think you had 17 effects pedals that you were performing with.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was just so phenomenal, all of the different layers and just the different kinds of colors and textures that you created. And so I was curious, if you could only choose 3 effects pedals to perform with,
oh my gosh,
which would you choose? And you can choose just the effects. It doesn't have to be the, you know.
right, totally. But that is a great question. Okay. Definitely 100% number one best friend pick, like, for life would be my looper. That is the meat and potatoes of a lot of, you know, of my pieces, of stuff, of the texture that I create, the sonic beds of sound that I create is all, looper based, because it really gives you flexibility in terms of utilizing the rest, like the whole instrument, like the rest of the harp, not just like what your fingers can physically grab, but at one time, but actually what you can layer. So if you're exploring the bass, you know, you have the ability to then loop that and then switch your hands, switch positions to the top of the harp or percussion or harmonics or something else that, you know, we all wish we had like 17 hands sometimes when we're playing, or like 25 hands. So this kind of allows us to really have the flexibility to become more than just what our fingers can play, but also layer multiple parts on top. So definitely the looper, love it so much. I use Boss and I just love it so much. Then of course reverb, like we just heard and talked about, that is such for me a really soothing sound. It really makes me feel excited and expansive on the instrument. And then probably a delay, because delay you can really manipulate, especially when paired with loopers and reverb, complicated rhythms. You could pair it and make it sound like even bigger than just one delay. You can have it sort of make a pattern that maybe we couldn't create, like I said, just by ourselves, but paired with those things, you can really explore and start to make some funky rhythms and some cool patterns. And like I said, paired with other things, it can really also transform the feeling of and the rhythmic pulse that we can create as harpists.
Yeah. Great choices.
It's hard, but those are those are definitely my top. But like, yeah, it's definitely something that I just love them all, absolutely. And every day I learn something new. You play a new combination with, you know, some of your pedals, or you do a different dialing of some of the settings. Just like when you're playing just the normal, like the harp, like if you play down on the string versus if you play in the middle, it's a different sound. So like it's the same exact things, the same subtleties. You can, it's like, you know, on the pedal. So you know, it's a different way of expressing. It's its own instrument, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. It also, I remember you saying this at the Tucson Virtual Harp Fest that also the delay creates this possibility for very rapid, repetitive kind of drones or notes on the same note.
Yes.
Which for non-harpist, they might not know that that's really difficult to do on the harp.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm curious if you could provide some other examples of effects pedals that extend the sound possibilities of the harp.
Definitely, and that's such a good point. Yeah, so for sure, the delays help us create that rhythmic repetition of the same note. And of course, as harpists, we would need to replace our finger, and that would on the same note, which would then dampen the string and deaden the sound. But and of course, there are things that we can do, like enharmonics and things that, you know, help with that, but not on every single note. And you know, so delay will help us do that, as well as sustain. So for us, when, you know, or okay, actually, here I'll say with violin or a string instrument, or even, well, I guess just like a lot of other instruments, they're able to continue the sound and actually have it move and have it expand and extend the length of just what the string is capable of. Or so, you know, with like a bow, you can just continuously. Bow without having the sound die out or deaden, I guess. So for us as harpists, once we pluck the string, the sound will decay naturally. And until we repluck the string, that sound won't increase anymore. So for us as harpists, and for me, I really wanted to explore that sound a lot, because I really feel that expression of sound, of continuing sound, is really important to me and really exciting to me. I just love figuring out ways that we can, as harpists, do that. So things like the freeze pedal, which I know you guys in Arizona have, which is so great. I'm so glad you guys use that with the Harp Fusion ensemble, because it is such an incredible tool to create space, create pads, create extend this sound that we're really needing to extend with, you know, our string reverberation, I guess, is what it comes down to, is like how long we can extend the string length and the pluck sound that comes from the string. So yeah, tools like a freeze pedal, things like the looper and reverb, I'll do those. There are some pedals that you can do, or that you can add to your sound, that will really just create a loop of sound that takes the same sound that is generated when you pluck the string and just completely extend it into infinite possibilities, into infinity. And that is something I really, really love to do. So that's definitely something that we can't do on our own, but paired with technology and effects pedals really allows us to explore.
Yeah, that's so incredibly cool. So do you mind sharing a few more of these sounds with us?
Definitely. Okay, I'm going to do some delay examples, because we just talked about that. And then I'll include some type of extended sound that we can do. But I'll start with some delay. So that's just one plucked note in a rhythmic pedal paired with some delay. So we're just hearing one note plucked. This is the pluck. 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 Which is really fun, because you're having all of those other notes happening without touching the string. Here's another example of a delay. Thank you.
going through a bunch of different pedals, turning them on and off just to improvise to see what kind of different rhythms we could grab.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And it's just so cool, all the different, the rhythmic complexity that you're able to create.
Yeah, and also you could do things like pair one note on something like we do, like a tremolo, and have that looped and also have that create for infinity. So something like this. If I were to do, like, take a reverb and a tremolo and do, now I just have a bed of sound to now create whatever I want on top. So we've used just the looper and a little bit of a reverb, and now we can have that extension of sound without having to pluck and have our hands just get exhausted.
Really opens up the possibilities.
Definitely.
Yeah. So another question that I have is, when you're composing for harp and effects pedals, do you normally start with the musical structure or the effects and extended techniques, or a mixture of both? And I guess just kind of, you know, more generally, what is your compositional approach?
That's such a great question. And for me, which it could be totally different for someone else who also uses effects pedals, but for me, it is totally a mixture of both. Like, I can sit down to the harp and just, like, try a new pedal that I got and just plug it in and pluck a note, and like, I'm like, oh, what is this? Like, oh my goodness, I love it. And then I'll just sort of loop that, and then maybe a piece can come from that. Or maybe it's just a voice memo that I never do anything with. Maybe it's just like a fun improv that I did for me, that, like, whatever it is, like, it totally depends on what the situation is and what your musical expression is that day, I guess. So sometimes I've had it where it's just, again, I plug in a pedal and I'm just trying it out, and I'm just so excited and so enamored with a new frontier of pedal sounds that I can't stop, and then something will come from that. Or sometimes, you know, I'll sit down and just have like chords that I really just love, or chords that I'm trying to work out, or maybe have a rhythm that I just like can't get out of my head, and then I'll try to find pedals that work with that, which sometimes can be a struggle, might not work every time, but so sometimes it'll start from the harp first, then adding the pedals, or sometimes it'll be vice versa. So it just depends. And I think, like I said, everyone's journey is probably so different. It just depends on, like, how we learn, like, pieces when we're doing for our recitals or for concerts or for orchestra. Some people start at the beginning, or some people might start at the part that they love the best, or who knows? It just depends on your journey, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And so we've already talked about this some, but you have a classical background.
Yeah.
And most pedal harpists in the United States are pretty deeply rooted in the classical world.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious what it's been like for you to chart your own path and not entirely abandon the classical approach by any means, but to take the harp in these new directions. What has the response been from your former professors and peers?
Yeah, it's totally been a mix, and I will always feel so grateful, and for traditional classical harp playing. I'll always play classical harp playing or play harp classically, but I think, you know, in the beginning I was of course, like you said, really rooted in it, so it took some time for even myself to be like okay with things like using contemporary techniques with these pedals, and having it be in a classical setting, and having people go, "What the heck is she doing? Like, what is she doing? Like, using percussion on the board?" and some professors would go, "Like, we already have 7 pedals. Why are you adding more? Like, what is this for?" But I just knew that I really was so passionate about exploring these sounds, and I just wanted to see everything that I could, and really sonically explore everything that I could conceive, and I'm still going. Like, to every day is a new journey, new discovery. We play, like I said, such a huge, vast instrument. I just wanted to utilize every inch of it. I wanted to really go for it. And I think to classically rooted traditional harpist, it was very confusing. And also, you know, I want to be very respectful, of course, to the instrument. So, you know, whenever I do percussion or things, you know, people go, oh my gosh, like, you're hurting the soundboard. And I go, no, I promise. Like, it's very light, but there's a microphone that amplifies it. Like, I promise it is so delicate. Like, I, you know, and I just sort of explain the different aspects of adding technology where, you know, it sounds like a huge boom and I'm just like smashing into the soundboard. But, and people who play, like, who are more traditional would go, oh my gosh, like, stop. But I think for me, you know, getting the chance to explain, like, oh no, look, there's a contact mic on there. It's just like tapping it and it creates this other sound. Then you pair it with a octave pedal or another sound, and it can sound 10 times the amount that it would in the room. So I think overall, the response, I'm just so grateful for anyone who is excited to play this way, because I'm happy to always, of course, like, share and stuff. But it definitely was in the beginning, I had to be like, well, no, I promise it's okay. Or like, oh, it's so fun. You guys should try it. Get a looper.
Yeah. And it is, it's so innovative, the way that you're moving the harp in these new directions. And I can say that I'm really inspired by it. And I think it's just like so wonderful, your energy for moving the harp in these different ways.
Oh, thank you so much. And likewise, everything you're doing is incredible. Everything that Harp Fusion is doing, Dr. God is doing. Like, I think everybody, what's so cool about music is that everybody can express in their own way. And like, everyone finds their voice and how they want to express on these amazing instruments. Like, so I think it's so cool that, you know, there are different types of harpists in the world or instrumentalists in the world who just, they're passionate about different parts of playing. And like, that's part of the beauty of music is just telling a different story and expressing a voice that you know, someone might play the exact same pedals, but we all will sound different. It's going to be so cool, you know, like, we all like how we all play the same, you know, handle piece or the same, you know, but like, everyone's voice is different. Maybe some people like to ornament it this way and some people like to ornament it that way, or like have different octaves, or how people create different cadenzas for different orchestral excerpts and things like that. Like, it's really cool to hear everyone's way to do different things. And I'm so inspired by everyone else too doing their thing as well, and you guys. And I just think that music is the coolest, and there's so much expression going around. I just feel honored to be a part.
Yeah Something that I love about harpists, and maybe this is true for all instrumentalists, but I feel like harpists, just like, we really love the harp. Like, really love the harp.
Like, obsessed.
And I've heard you say a few times now that you're like so grateful to play the harp. And
definitely.
I just really love that phrasing. Because I think, I started playing the harp when I was an adult, and sometimes I think about it and I'm like, how did I end up here? Like, how did I? That's such a great way to say it. Like, so grateful to play the harp. And you have such a giving and really generous energy with the harp. And so I was curious, just like, what most excites you about the harp? If you can articulate it, it might be hard to describe.
Yes. Well, definitely. I feel, like I said, we're all so, like, so lucky. I have a hard time expressing it just because I am like so excited about it. We're all so lucky to be able to play this majestic and vast instrument. And, it's so expansive. There's literally endless things that we have at our fingertips.
And especially for me, it combined with another deep passion of technology, like I truly feel like, oh my gosh, like I will spend my whole lifetime learning this instrument, my whole lifetime like expressing on it. And I think that what's most exciting for the future of the harp, like I just think that there are still so many places that we have to see it. Like, I really think that it belongs in so many different sonic spaces that it's not currently a part of, or maybe is like a little bit, but like it would be cool to see more of. Or I just think that I'd love for it to be as many places as possible. In terms of like, that's where I'm excited for the harp, but in terms of like, what excites me about the harp, I don't know if I already said it, but so sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I do think that like we just have this endless expanse at our fingertips from how massive it is. And I feel like we could use every inch of the instrument, from the back of the soundboard. Like I've created different like percussive loops with like alternating my hand patterning like in between the soundboard holes on the back. Like you know, I just want to literally explore every inch of the harp. And I've actually created loops from like feedback things, like if there's like a little bit of a buzz from maybe a connective or a poor connection sometimes within the quarter inch cables, like there'll be this like zzz thing, and like you can use that. Like I just think that yeah, I'm just excited by just how many places there it can be, and how it should be, and how many things that we can do as harpists on the instrument.
Yeah, so building on that, and you've already touched on this some, but especially in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, I'm curious what direction you see the harp going and musical performance going more broadly.
Yes. Well, yeah, this has been definitely a tough year. And I think more than ever, like for me, it's just really just shined light on how much, you know, I miss the connection with people, with concerts, with collaborating, with being together, you know, all together, since we haven't been able to this whole year. So I think because of that, everybody's turning to alternative ways to connect, like collaboration and online, you know, or like digital collaboration, where more so maybe like, you know, without the pandemic, we would have maybe just gotten together or waited till we were in the same location to do a collaboration concert or something. But now I feel like people are embracing technology in a way that helps us connect, because it is such a necessity now with everything going on, and being able to share and to connect in that way is, I think, really a good thing that's come out of it. Although, like I said, it's been such a tough year, and I send love to everyone, of course, affected. This has definitely been a really interesting one. So I think just embracing technology, and also remote recording has been a huge, wonderful tool during this time, where that's how I've been doing the majority of the film scores this year, has been all remote. And it's so cool to see so many people set up remote studios and set up, get microphones and record themselves, and also maybe explore personal projects that they've been thinking of doing, or wanting to express and record themselves and maybe create albums. So I think that, it's definitely an exciting time, but also very scary. But also, I think that there are definitely places in the future for to utilize these tools that we've all sort of had to adapt to doing during this time, like using all this technology and connecting on screen. And it's all going to be okay. As I'm saying every day, like, I think, you know, just send love every day and keep everyone in our hearts, and make sure that we're, you know, just being together and as much as we can virtually.
Yeah. Yeah. It really has showcased kind of the power of technology for.
Definitely.
Yeah. connecting us and maintaining Definitely. Connections.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
So for this question, either before the pandemic or now even, however you want to answer it, what as a recording artist, harpist, experimental harpist, what is a typical day like for you? Like, is there a typical day? And yeah.
I love that question. It totally depends on the week, like 100%. So yes, I guess pre-pandemic and during pandemic, it's totally dependent on what projects are on in town, what kind of shows are running, what kind of projects are going on. So it could be something like, okay, I'll just like go through like last week, let's say. So like you would wake up in the morning and sometimes I'll have like cues sent to me first thing and say like, okay, this is due by 2 p.m. Or sometimes it'll say like, okay, the show needs it in by Tuesday at, you know, 7. So it depends on like what the actual thing is. So sometimes I'll have a cue sent to me that I'll need to record a couple different recording projects, and then maybe I'll have usually, I mean, over the last couple of last 2 years or so, it's been sort of just project to project. So once one is finished that day, you know, maybe move on to the next one that I'll do at night. It just totally depends. It's really difficult to articulate. Also, like pre-pandemic, like February, for instance, like right before everything ended, I would be going to like a session at studios in person, and that would be for anywhere from like 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So like that's a single session, or a double session would be like 10 to 1, 2 to 5, and then sometimes there'd be evening or an overtime, so that would go into that. Or sometimes after that I'd go to a live performance where I'd play for whatever event or whatever is happening at night. So it's really, really fun to have a varied schedule where every week sort of is different. Sometimes I like joke that I'm like, okay, what kind of like harp genres am I playing this week? Like, sometimes I don't know either until like the day of, or like a couple days you know, in advance. So it's definitely really fun, and I'm able to have a lot of variety, I guess, in terms of the types of harp genres and playing that I'll be experiencing that week.
Yeah. So what kind of warm-ups do you do regularly, or what kind of preparation do you do for this broad variety of work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do just a general warm-up that is like two different arpeggios in the different hands, like in different rhythms. I used to do this at Academy, and it used to be on our exams. Like we would do, let me see if I can, like if we were to do like, oh wait, hold on, I have a delay on. Not that. like. Against three, or like, you know, have it be maybe 4-4-2-3-1 in a arpeggio going up. But I don't do anything really crazy, just sort of just arpeggios to warm up my fingers. And then if I'm doing something with pedals, I'll be sure to just check my levels, maybe work on some settings within the pedals that I know I can reference and get to quickly if I was working in a session and they needed me to access a certain type of sound. So having full, knowledge of where, like what kind of project it is and where I would be maybe going sonically if I was adding pedals, just like having those ready to go. It's not really a warm up, but I guess just like a preparation.
Yeah, I love hearing those arpeggios, and it's so interesting the warm-ups that stay with us. So I'm curious what aspects of your training prepared you for your work as a session harpist.
Yes, definitely I would say learning how to play with a click, was mm-hmm. very, very important for this, and something I had to really, get used to when I started working in London in studios, because I would be tracking for like pop or like different artists, and they also would have a click, and we do that with conductors as classical musicians, but having that experience, with headphones and levels and really adjusting to that kind of thing was really cool. So we used to do that at the Academy. Skyla Conga is a huge inspiration of mine, and she played in a lot of films, and she would sometimes really give us advice on, just make sure you're with the click, or let's sight read, all sight read together. And so we would have like sight reading class, which was very challenging for me, but I practiced and practiced, and thankfully, something that I really made sure to work on a lot is sight reading, because sometimes you show up to these sessions, you don't have any music. You're ready to just play whatever is in front of you. Sometimes it could be a harp solo. Sometimes it could be, something that's not pedaled, and mm-hmm. you're ready to start in 2 seconds, and nothing is pedaled for you. So, so also, yeah, quick pedaling is another huge thing that really helped. Is in school or in conservatory, we had a time limit for this sight reading class. So it would say like, okay, you guys have 2 minutes or whatever the time frame was to look at this piece, mark it up, and then you're each gonna play it for us. Like it was one by one. You would, whatever moment you were at, like you had to play it. And so I think that type of stuff was really helpful, especially in this type of environment, because like I said, you never really know what you're gonna get. Sometimes you get it fully ahead of time and it's all good. You have time to prepare it. You've got whatever, but sometimes it's sort of on the spot. Reading and on the spot marking up and making sure you can play what the composer has written.
Yeah, so building on that, I'm curious what advice you would give a young harpist who's interested in taking the harp in new directions and maybe isn't solely interested in pursuing a kind of classical path. What kinds of advice would you offer?
Yeah, I would say definitely to follow what you're passionate about and stay true to your personal expression on the instrument. Like I said, it's so so vast. Like, their possibilities are endless with this gorgeous instrument, and I just feel like there are so many more ways that we've never heard it played. So that could be you. That is you. That is whoever. Like, that is everyone has their own unique voice on the instrument, and I think in every sense of that, what in that meaning, like classically, non-classical, neoclassical, electronic, like whatever it is, however you want to play, however you want to express yourself, just go for it. Like, there's no limits. And I think sometimes, I know I used to set like rules, like I couldn't bend down to click a pedal, like because that wasn't, maybe proper, or like maybe I would move too much when I would play my concerto stuff. Like, I remember some study, I don't know where I was, but someone said like, "Oh, you move your head too much." I was like, "Oh my goodness, I do!" Like, I didn't know that. But like, there are no rules if you're not like in a concert hall, or if you're not playing, in a traditional setting. Like, you can go ahead and express. Maybe that means physically. Maybe that means like, but of course, staying true and healthy to your technique, mm-hmm. and of course to your to make sure you're not injuring yourself. Making sure that your technique is solid and you're very comfortable. With your foundation, of course. That all being said, go for it and express the way that that you can. If it's safe and exactly how you want to play, go for it.
Yeah, I love that so much. So the last question that I have is, what projects do you have coming up that you're really excited about that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah. Okay. So I am really, really excited. I just finished a Netflix show that I can't wait for to come out. It comes out this winter. And I'm also finishing up finally my album. And I'm so, so excited to have it finally out, just because I've been so passionate about working on it and exploring sounds for the last couple of years. So it'll be really fun to have that out in the world. And yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to that. And yeah, just continuing every day I'm just looking at my board. I just think that there are like so many different things that I still haven't explored, and different combinations of pedals and different things that I'm still excited to go for. I look forward to just continuing on exploring sonically and seeing what other sounds that we can do. And also, I'm really excited to hear everyone else's music and everyone else's projects. And it's so cool to see everyone, you know, exploring the harp or playing the harp online in different ways, and through TikTok or through whatever. It's just so cool. YouTube. I'm excited for the future of the harp and how much we have to express on it. So yeah, definitely looking forward to everything, and I'm so grateful for you guys taking the time to talk with me today, and I'm so thankful and excited for everything that you guys are doing, and this podcast. I love the first episode, as I said, so I'm really, really looking forward to listening to the rest of them and hearing everything that you guys do.
Awesome. I have to say that I'm so excited about your album.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so excited, and just thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me and talk with me today. So do you mind leaving us with a musical piece or some kind of clip, anything that you'd like to perform or share with us?
Sure, absolutely. Yes, I would love to. And again, thank you so much. And I will talk to you guys so soon. Thank you for everything.
I'm Dr. Michelle Gott, Director of the University of Arizona Heart Program, and you've been listening to Heart Fusion Take Note. For more information about our program or to make a donation, please visit our website, harp.music.arizona.edu. We extend all of our love and gratitude to Lara Somogyi for inspiring all of us to keep exploring. I'd also love to thank Marina Tiffany, composer, and Charlie Gott, percussionist, for our theme song, Bailey Stevenson, interviewer and head writer for this episode, and our conceptual and editing team, which included Xiaodi Zhu, Victoria Gonzalez, and Marina Tiffany. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.